B-Pod Studios.
Are you ready for this? This is Felk and Matt.
Oh, that's stupid. My God.
Told you so.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Felk and Matt.
Oh, that's stupid. My God.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Draymond, you predicted before the Eastern Conference Finals ended that Boston wouldn't come out.
I didn't really predict that. I think I just know a little bit about basketball. I mean, if you know a little bit about basketball and you saw the two teams, I just thought Boston was the better team. Like, it wasn't a prediction or a slight at anybody. I thought they were a better team, and clearly I wasn't far off.
Right. That was determined that they were coming out the other side. So what is it that you saw them doing or how they were playing then that sort of made you think that way?
I think it's, you know, we've been watching it for months now, where their defense is absolutely incredible. They have a good offense, and more importantly on offense, they have a guy that is one of them guys. You know, Jaylen Brown is absolutely, you know, a very good player, but Jason Tatum is one of them guys. And when you have that, you always have a chance to win it. When you have a guy like that, you couple that with all the pieces around him, the defense around him, they have veteran leadership. You know, you couple that with all the things that's around and you look and you say, wow, they actually have what it takes.
All right, hour two of the program. I start to mix in some Celtic stuff. Draymond Green on you yesterday. Nice comment about you. Largely true. He knew the Celts were coming. What's your temperature on this series, Maz, as we are now, 30 hours away from tip?
Well, look, I still lean Golden State, okay? But I'm not, you know, if you were to say to me, who am I betting in this series? I wouldn't feel confident either way. I think it's really close. And so then I saw this list today of the top players in the series. And number one was Curry, number two was Tatum. So let me just stop there for a second and say, I think we all agree on that, maybe not the order, but those are the two best players in the series. Okay, so now let's get beyond that, because I think it's Tatum. Some people think it's Curry. Whatever, it's close. But those are the top two. But then the next four, and I'm just looking at this one was done, I think, by the Sporting News. Three was Jaylen Brown. Four was Draymond Green. And then Marcus Smart and Al Horford were five and six. Meaning, according to them...
You still haven't gotten to Klay Thompson, but keep going.
Well, he was seventh.
Okay.
Okay? But according to them, the Celtics have four of the top six players in the series. And if that is true, shouldn't they win it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, again, one and two is close, right? Even if Tatum is second, the gap between him and Curry is microscopic, really. And so, and again, I think it's Tatum. I think Tatum is number one. So if you go by this list, the Celtics have four of the top six, and in my opinion, they have the top player in the series. So why am I leaning Golden State? Like, I'm questioning myself,
no,
too.
This is why the nerds and the analysts and the computers are looking at you going, this is the problem with humans. You're thinking emotionally or the star value of Steph Curry, or you're putting too much into things that really don't matter, like experience or motivation, or maybe even a home court. You know, I mean, I don't know. But I think the computer would look at you and go, this is why you're a silly human and very inefficient. You're looking at the wrong things.
I mean, because then when I look closely at that Golden State roster, and I say, you know, back when they won their first one, I did question whether they were good enough.
You definitely did.
Right? I absolutely questioned whether they could win with that group and whether they were good enough to beat LeBron. Let's see it happen. Then Kyrie went down and they won the title. And I admit to this day, I still can't get past that Kyrie thing.
So here's what blows me away. Can I give you my thought about this list that you have in front of you? And
sure,
I've seen several now. I've seen several. Drafting the series, ranking the series. And I think everyone I've seen has Draymond Green ahead of Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
And that's like a consensus opinion now, to the point where if Jimmy Stewart were here, I'd ask him, I don't know, Brian or Kevin back there, what are these guys' Raptor ratings or effing war or something? Is there some sort of efficiency metric that all these guys just defer to now? And now, because of Draymond Green's metrics, he's got a higher Raptor or war or efficiency rating or whatever. This is a time where I wish I could really swear.
It's defensive metrics, Mike. This is why Klay Thompson's behind Draymond Green on all these lists. There's these articles that have been going around saying that Klay Thompson has actually been kind of a liability defensively for the Warriors during this run this year.
I've heard similar things, and I'm not going by the stories and the metrics.
My guess is
I've asked around and people have said he's slipped since the injuries.
Okay, so that makes sense if you're watching them a lot. I just get the sense. And if Klay Thompson's Raptor is higher than Draymond Green's and this rant is null and void, which tends to happen with me, I fly off the handle and it turns out I was mistaken in the first place. There was no reason to do it. But if Draymond Green is really now the second guy, then the Warriors are porked.
Yeah, they're not good enough. I agree. If that's what it is, they're not good enough.
Oh, forget about it. But I see it over and over and over again. And Jim, you're absolutely right. It has to be the defensive metrics. It feels like Klay Thompson can still shoot. I mean, the offensive numbers are down, but it's got to be, you know, he used to be a pretty elite defender. And two ACLs and an Achilles, I guess, will do that to you. But I guess it's done it to him. But if Draymond Green is now there, so like we do all these things, like what's the better duo, Thompson Curry or, but it's Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. Well, now the duo in Golden State is Curry, Draymond Green?
That's a good way to think about it. If Green is their second best player, the Celtics absolutely should win this series.
Forget about it.
Right, that's how I feel too. Like, and so as I started reading this, that is sort of how I'm questioning it.
Yeah, but you're also leaning Warriors because you have this residual PTSD from this last series that shouldn't have gone seven games. And I'm kind of with you. Like, the Celtics should have cleaned that up in six tops because they were the more talented team than Miami.
I mean, Draymond Green has been the second best plus minus guy on the Warriors in the postseason. Okay, that's his total. Number one is Andrew Wiggins,
mm-hmm.
right? So there is some sort of premium being put on defense, and Green does have intangibles. Like, there are a lot of stuff like that. So, and Draymond Green, to me, if he's locked in and not acting like some sort of jackass, is a good competitive player, right?
Yeah, but...
But he's not,
How does he shoot? Has his shooting gotten any better?
Brutal. Particularly from the outside. Around the rim, he's fine. But, you know, from three, brutal.
I mean, I still think it's going to come down to shot making. And, of course, that's not in a vacuum. If you play good defense, you can force the opponent into tougher shots. And I get it. But I'm sorry. The whole key to Golden State, to me, is the options on offense and how they mitigate your strength on defense, because you can't cover them all every possession down there. And if they can all hit, and Thompson's bombing away, and you can't cheat off of Thompson or Curry because the other will kill you. Like, that's still, to me, their team. And if you want to throw Poole in there, fine. But if Klay Thompson's not that, then what am I even talking about here?
So I think too much is being made about this Klay Thompson thing, frankly. And look, it's not like I've watched all these games, but I can't help thinking, like, the guy still goes off. In that closeout game against Memphis, he had 30 points, he hit eight threes, he's grabbing rebounds. Like, he still is Klay Thompson.
Okay, let's start to mix in your final thoughts and your temperature heading into the NBA Finals Game 1 tomorrow night. Back to your calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Caesar Sportsbook currently has the Warriors as a slight favorite to win this series. Game one, as I mentioned, Thursday in San Francisco, where Golden State is a 3.5-point favorite. JJ, I'll start with you. Who should be the favorite in this finals?
You know, it's really interesting. ESPN's own projections, yep. BPI, has the Warriors with a 14% chance of winning this series, the Celtics an 86% chance, and I tend to lean more towards that. I think this series comes down to the Celtics' defense, and this is a defense that was first in the NBA in the regular season in switching frequency. They were second so far in the playoffs in switching frequency, and in some ways, this defense is built similar to how the Houston Rockets were built in 17 and 18 when they went against the Golden State Warriors and they switched everything and they built that defense specifically to take away all that off-ball movement. And I think about especially their starting five with Robert Williams, Al Horford, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. Like, there's no weak points to attack. And you go back throughout this playoff run for Golden State, they had Luka Doncic they could attack for Dallas, and they had a lot of success with that. There were times that they elected to blitz Steph Curry, and they went 4-on-3, and they scored about 60% of the time on that. You go back to the Nuggets series. They had Jokic all the way up in pick and rolls, and they went 4-on-3 and just tore them apart. I don't think the Boston Celtics, at times maybe they will be doubling Steph, but I don't think they're going to have to build an entire game plan around doubling when their inherent defense that they've run all season is to switch things, and they have the personnel to do it.
J.J. Redick with the big Celtics prediction and analysis that you just hear over and over and over again, and I got it by now. The Celts don't need to run under screens. They can switch whatever pick and roll, whatever screen and roll that they face, and whoever ends up on Steph Curry or the shooter or the ball handler can take that matchup because they have no defensive weaknesses. I got it. And that's it. Like, that's over and over and over again, that's what you hear. And that's why they've had success against Golden State. Because it doesn't matter what actions they run, Steph Curry isn't going to be switched onto some mismatch. Whether it's Smart or Brown or Tatum or even one of your big guys, you can pretty much guard them all. And there's no weak links, so they'll just switch. They don't have to fight through a screen or over a screen. They'll just switch and still be strong defensively, and that's why they match up well with the Warriors. We'll see. I mean, that's certainly been the case in a regular season situation. But I would even add at that, yes, you're the only team that has a winning record over the Steve Kerr Golden State Warriors. It's only 9-7, right? Isn't that the number?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the difference of one game, really. I mean,
yeah, right. That's right.
I mean, so that says even though you've got the winning record over them, it's still just 9-7, and that is regular season. You have to admit those games are different. So let's see if that carries forward into the playoffs. You should be fine. Definitely. We'll see if it does.
Yeah, that 9-7, I'll tell you how I look at it, is that Golden State's going to get resistance. I sort of leave it at that. Like, they're going to get resistance. This is a team that matches up well with them. Doesn't mean Golden State can't win. Like, you know, I'm just talking about how the public's interpreting it. And the other thing is, all those matchups, Mike, there are still ones that Golden State prefers over others, right? So even though you say, well, you can flip-flop or switch anybody, fine. But you tell me, if Al Horford's out on Steph Curry, is he getting his three off and is he going to make it?
Should be.
I would say yes.
I'm going to say him, Tice, especially if Robert Williams might be out for one of these games or a couple of these games. Like, not the Celtics don't have an advantage with every single matchup just because of size alone.
Right. Now, Tice gets into the bench, right? So, but if you're saying starting five, like, I would say, okay, Williams I get because his arms are so freaking long. Curry might have to shoot it differently. But Horford? It's not like he gets off the ground. I know he's 6'9", 6'10", but Curry creates a little space. He gets that thing off. He can shoot over Horford. But, you know, so if I were them, that's what I would try to do is isolate Curry on Horford.
Back to your thoughts on everything that we've hit on so far today. It's a mix of topics. Dave and Weymouth, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I know you said earlier you think Tatum's the best player in the series. I still think it's Curry. I mean, he's been the best shooter of all time for this years now. I still think he is. And also, I haven't been following the Warriors like crazy this year, but I feel like Thompson still has to be better than Draymond.
If Klay Thompson, if Draymond Green is a more valuable guy to the Warriors, if he's better than Klay Thompson, then forget about it. It's over. And I'd even say Jordan Poole. I mean, the whole key to Golden State is that they got to have multiple guys that can hit. The Bucks went cold like crazy at the three. The Miami went cold like crazy some games at the three. The Warriors can't fall into that. So if it's not Steph Curry, they got to have two or three other guys that hit. And if Klay Thompson's not one of them, they're porked. I keep seeing that Draymond Green rates higher than Klay Thompson. If that's the case, then I've misappropriated the Warriors. I will say, I have Tatum over Steph Curry slightly, but can I still say over these next 2 weeks, I think Steph Curry's going to outplay him. I think Steph Curry's going to have a better 2 weeks than Jason Tatum, even though I think Tatum's better right now. And I hope that's logical. Just because one guy's a little better doesn't mean the other guy can't outplay him over a two-week stretch for some sort of intangible reason. More on the line, more experience in his home building, etc. So I have Curry over Tatum this week, but that doesn't mean I'm taking him overall. And that's sort of how I sort of parse that out.
No, overall, I think you just got to take Tatum because of the size more than anything else. But over these next couple of weeks, or just for this playoff run, Maz, maybe you'll know, has Curry put up any like terrible games like Tatum has during this run, like Game 3 in Miami or Game 3 against Milwaukee?
Oh, I think he played like crap in the last one against Dallas.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, I want to say he had 15 points in that game or something. I'll check it. So, look, again, I'm not convinced that Thompson is a shell of himself, if that's how you want to put it.
Kai in the car on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Kai.
Hey guys, how you doing? Long time listener, first time caller. So I think we can all agree that Whitlock belongs in the bullpen, but here's the take for you. What do you think about moving Sale to the bullpen? I don't know what the hell's going on with his rehab right now, but, you know, something's better than nothing. He'd be an expensive reliever, but I think he could solve some problems.
Maz, Sale to the bullpen.
Look, I don't dislike the idea, right? I mean, the caller's asking a logical question. But you have a guy coming off all this injury stuff, and now you're going to use him, what, back-to-back, 3 out of 4 days, you know, 3 out of 5 days, whatever? Like, it doesn't add up to me. That's the part that doesn't add up.
Mike in the car on the hockey last night. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. So I'm watching the game last night, and it just makes me think. The Bruins are not on the same planet as the teams that are playing last night. I go away for 2 seconds, go to the bathroom, I come back, they score 2 goals. I don't even know where to begin. How do these teams, like the Oilers, the Avalanche, the Lightning, how do they have the flexibility and, like, the wherewithal to draft all these guys and make these super teams, and they're still under the cap. Meanwhile, we're struggling to fit Eric Halla and Patricia Bergeron under $5 million. Well, like, just please explain to me how they can get so good, and yet we're so in the dust with all this.
They are so much more skilled offensively, and it's so much more of a wide-open, entertaining brand of hockey. But I know it sounds silly, but they're really weak in their own end, and I don't know how they would fare against a team like you that is really good in your own end, and your goaltending's better, and... Like, I don't know if those teams are going to win, unfortunately. I think it would be great for hockey if Cal Makar and MacKinnon or McDavid and Draisaitl and those guys emerge, and that's what wins. I don't know how you win a Stanley Cup with Mike Smith and net.
Well, so that's Edmonton.
Yeah, Edmonton. Or Colorado, who I don't know what Kemper is, and he got hurt last night. They brought in their backup. They gave up 6 freaking goals. I mean... When you win a cup, giving up 6 freaking goals, even to Connor McDavid?
Okay, I was just going to say, though, isn't Colorado better than defensively than what they played last night?
Yes. Yeah.
But so, they are not, they do not have a great postseason track record for whatever reason, and I think it's in their own end.
Okay, so I think Colorado would be the favorite to win it right now, if you ask me. Now, you want the 7 goals last night, notwithstanding. Okay, so I don't know what the hell's going to happen here going forward. Edmonton? If they win it, I'll be shocked, because that guy in goal blows, and their decor blows. So, look, they can score with anybody if they're flying, but what happens on the night when they get 2 goals?
It's just a different game. I mean, I still think a team like Tampa that has, you know, maybe not all of the offensive talent of those teams, but most of it, and have Hedman. And who's a Russian defensive? What's that guy's name? I can't remember his name. Whatever. Like that decor, McDonough. Like that decor with Vasilevsky, the best goalie in the league. Like that, I think, is going to beat either of those teams. Ultimately, unfortunately.
Can win more ways.
And ultimately, goals against is the most important stat in hockey. Unfortunately, it's just refreshing to watch two teams go at it where goals against is not the most important stat, where they're just trying to outscore you and they play accordingly. Here's an update from Big Jim, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mez.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mez on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
As for the Warriors, they're going to have a stretch off, almost a week, 6 days. But what is it you like about them that you go, yeah, that's the team that's going to win the finals?
Just the number of weapons they have, guys capable of having huge offensive nights. I mean, now that Jordan Poole has emerged as an elite-level scorer, we know what Steph's capable of. And now Klay Thompson, he's arrived. He's back where he was 3 years ago. He's a guy now ready to make his stamp on this series. He's so explosive, and I actually think when Klay Thompson gets hot, they're unbeatable because it's so quick and decisive what he does to you and the way that he scores. And that's not even mentioning, an Andrew Wiggins, who is capable of having a 20 to 25 point game at any time. And then you've got Draymond Green stirring the entire thing with his playmaking and the way he facilitates. So I just think, Boston is a great defensive team, but the Golden State Warriors have more answers for a great defense because they've got so many guys that can hurt you, and they make you play all the way through the end of the clock because they never stop moving, they never stop sharing it, and they never stop shooting it. So this is going to be a classic matchup of a great defense taking on a team that's got a ton of weapons and also plays the right way that is the hardest to guard.
Tim Legler, ESPN, says Klay Thompson's all the way back. I don't know. Maybe that's a key guy in this whole thing. Because the key to the Warriors are the number of weapons. The number of guys that can line up on the three-point line and hit and score. And they're not going to beat you defensively. They're okay defensively. But it's about, stretching you defensively, mitigating your defense by just the pure number of guys you have to cover. Klay Thompson is really drop below Draymond Green in importance? Forget about it. And then you're relying on... what, Jordan Poole or Wiggins, guys who've never been here before? Now you don't know what those guys are going to be on this stage. They've never been here. So that to me is like a big one.
Yeah, you mentioned some of these lists. Did you happen to see Kevin Pelton's? It was behind the ESPN paywall, so I found that interesting. He had Andrew Wiggins, the third most important player in the series.
So, I mean, I can see it, but all these lists, and when they draft the series, rank the series, have Klay Thompson behind Draymond Green. And I just...
that's crazy.
I mean, and I just can't help but wonder if they're just deferring to the advanced metrics. According to Brian, our intern, Draymond Green's WAR is 6. Klay Thompson's has 1.9.
They do NBA WAR too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah.
Draymond Green's Raptor is plus 3.5. Klay Thompson's total Raptor is minus 0.3.
What's it even mean?
I don't know.
So look again.
But I'm telling you, I bet you these places just go and look at their Raptor.
I wouldn't rule that out.
I mean, that's how one votes on MVP now in baseball. Just go to the WAR. I'm sorry, Ness.
No, I was just going to say, I would guess, though, that Thompson's numbers are probably deceiving because they include early in the year. He's probably better and healthier than he was then. Certainly his timing's better. Something Legler said in that cut, too, strikes me is that they'll use the whole 24 seconds. That would concern me if I'm the Celtics. I question how long they can stay focused.
Oh, I disagree. I think it's just the opposite. Shoot early in the clock. I felt myself with Miami especially, with those possessions, with the clock going down. I mean, guys, you're not going to get a better shot. The first look is probably going to be your best look. Go up with it. All the endless dribble handoffs, 25 feet from the rim. You're not going to shake free. Once the Celtics lock in defensively and get set defensively, it's over.
Yeah, this team feels different to me, though.
Well, okay, let's see. If I'm the Warriors, first shot, go up. No hesitation. Outshoot them. And I'm talking attempts.
Sure, yeah.
As much as anything. Back to your calls. Here's Sean in Taunton. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, want to offer a positive spin on the reaction after the Game 7. I've honestly never seen Tatum or Brown smile so ear to ear after a game. And I just think it was an expression that a huge weight was lifted off of their shoulders after that game. I think now that they've gotten over that Eastern Conference hump, I feel that they'll probably play a bit more confident and not play to not lose anymore. So I'm really looking to see how they respond. But I just think I mean, I don't know. Have you guys ever seen Tatum smile like that before?
Yeah, maybe not. Maz, you think there's a double-edged sword to that?
Yeah, look, I think you can let down a little bit and be satisfied with where you are. I'd be careful about that one. I will say that I've never seen them happier toward one another. Like, you know, the hugging
yeah,
and the,
yeah, yeah.
You know, we haven't been sure about the real nature of that relationship. And I would tell you, you know, Chris Gasper's famous line, winning fixes everything. If you win, you'll love your teammate. So win.
Dakota's in Braintree on the finals. Go ahead, Dakota.
So you guys haven't mentioned my favorite NBA advanced analytical, and that's PIE, player impact estimate. And if you just look at the playoffs, and PIE has been correct 9 of the last 11 years predicting the season MVP. So it is a stat that basically looks at everything possible on the basketball court per possession, defense and offense, okay? Steph Curry has a slight edge during the playoffs over Tatum. Then there's no one close. It's Robert Williams, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford. Then Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and Marcus Smart and that next back. Analytically, this favors the Celtics so much. And the other part about this, too, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, 32, 33, 34 years old. The Celtics have a much younger team. And
that's a bad thing, Dakota.
No, it's not.
Yes,
not
it is.
Look at Golden State played Denver, not the same Nugget team. They played Memphis that got hurt without Ja Morant, okay? Then they played Dallas, who I can't even believe got that far with one player, an MVP guy in Luka, with no real supporting cast, okay? The Celtics were battle-tested, and statistically, I don't care if you look at the analytics or not, the Celtics are going to win this series 5, 6, 7. Doesn't matter. The numbers are the numbers. And I agree with that last caller. The pressure is off. 4 out of the last 6 years, they got there. They got over the hump. And if you're not pressured on the basketball court, you can shoot and pass with ease, with more confidence.
Well, I wouldn't stop there, Dakota. Celtics in 3. Just say it. After all, they've got a higher WAR, Raptor, and now Pi.
Yeah, Pi.
Pi.
Pi R squared.
Pi.
Pi.
But this is why the analytics, clearly, and this is why 538 has the Celtics 80-20. It's why the ESPN, as you heard Reddick say earlier this hour, has it 84-16.
I think it's 86-14, but whatever.
86-14. So the pie and the Raptor, all Celtic comes up. The nerds love the Celtics, man, and the nerds are usually right. I as much as I rail against it and hate it.
Yeah, what was that 538 thing again, though?
But again, they also gave Hillary 80%, Dakota. They had Hillary at 80-20, just like the Celtics. So, I hate to break it to you, Dakota. You are Hillary.
86 based on pie? Is that what it was?
I don't know what the number was on pie, but
that
in terms of
delicious pie.
The pie rankings had, if I have this right, Curry slightly ahead of Tatum, and then the next 4 guys are all Celtics. You know, Robert Williams, Horford, Jaylen Brown, before you get to, again, Draymond Green ahead of. So if Draymond Green's got a bigger pie than Klay Thompson, I would agree. The Warriors are screwed.
I mean, this idea, too, that there's no pressure now because you're in the finals.
Oh, no. Whee!
That's asinine.
It's not.
That is so asinine. No. This one's really going up my backside now.
All right, but you know what? Let's flush this out on the other side.
Okay, let's hold.
Something's crawled up Maz's ass. Coming up next, we'll pull it out. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Day, it's still all about sports.
We don't take it seriously.
And whatever's on Jim Murray's mind.
Get over the persecution complex, you children.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
But what we do have is size and versatility on the wings. And I think, you know, with who we are defensively against a really good offensive team, the benefit is having, obviously, Marcus and Jason Jalen on the perimeter. But as well, you know, you have bigs that they can't just pick on, you know, Al, Rob, Grant, and everybody else, you know, that we do use. It's a kind of a perfect storm as far as a matchup with all the offensive talent they have, the defensive talent we have. And I think our size and versatility bodes well for us as far as that. So I feel confident with a lot of guys guarding different players. players for them, where as opposed to other teams where, you know, whether you look at the Dallas series or others, they were trying to pick on certain people. And so we feel comfortable as far as that. And I think that benefits us defensively.
Udoka's something, huh? I don't know how Bill Belichick would feel about the way he talks about some of these opponents. And, you know, and I think he's absolutely right. And there's really nothing wrong with it. Just speaking about what everyone, I think, accepts, and that is the Celtics have an advantage in size and that switchability, and it's going to be unlike anything that the Warriors have faced this postseason, mm-hmm. where they picked on all sorts of bad defensive mismatches mm-hmm. against Memphis or Dallas or whoever. Udoka says, we got too much size and too many guys that are too versatile. They can't do that against us like they've done against everybody else. It's just odd to hear him, you know, say it.
Yeah, right.
Publicize it before the games.
Right. It's a little cocky.
It is. Right. But I think it's also right. All right, Maz, what's going up your ass? You don't even remember. You need to hold on to it.
Oh, I know what it was.
There's nothing to lose.
Oh, this notion that like
there's no pressure.
Right. No, that the Celtics have now gotten there and it's all okay. You know, they don't have to win because they got this huge window. And like, I dismiss this out of hand. So I was saying to you that there was a lesson at the very beginning of the program. We started Red Sox today, and we played the highlight from Game 7 of the 75 World Series.
The last time the Reds won in Fenway Park.
Correct, until last night. And so, you know what everyone was saying about that Red Sox team at the time? This is one of the next great dynasties in baseball. Even though the Reds were there, the Red Sox were coming. Lynn, Rice, Fisk. Lynn was a rookie. Rice was a rookie. Fisk was in his second or third or fourth year, but he was, you know, a 26-year-old catcher. They were loaded. They were loaded. They were loaded for bear. Everyone thought this team's going to win a World Series. They never did. They never did. In fact, that incarnation of the Red Sox never even got back there. So you can't take these things for granted.
No, I agree so much, because I know, like, the talk nationally, again, it might be more singularly important for Steph Curry to win this, but I've thought about it. I think it's more important for the Celtics to win it, because I agree, Maz. Like, Tatum, Brown, yeah, they're young, but are they locked to get back? And, Mike, like, do you feel confident about Giannis and the Bucks winning another one? It's great they got one, but...
Hell no.
Right? So, like, okay, the young nucleus here, they're going to be in the mix, as will the Bucks, but... You got to get this now. You need to win this now so you can cement your legacy of your Tatum and Brown. Make the franchise look better for winning more than one measly title over the last 35 years. I'm not confident they get back here again. Like, you got to go win this now.
I mean, just quickly on this point, if I were Udoka, I'd have Al Horford get up and address the team about this. Hey, guys.
Right, it took me my whole career to get here.
I've been in the league 15 years. I came in as a high lottery pick. I've been on some good teams who then lost in the playoffs. Don't think that this is going to happen all the time, because it isn't. That's what I would do if I were Udoka.
All right. We continue with your thoughts again on everything we've hit on so far. We've done a little bit of hockey based off of last night's game. Spun us into a little bit of Bruins stuff, so let's just address it here. Ernie and Revere. Go, Ernie.
Hey, I'm awake today.
Okay, Ernie, I don't remember when you weren't, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, I fell asleep waiting for you.
I don't remember.
Snoring.
It's all right.
Okay. Why can't they just move Hall or center? I mean, the guy can skate. He can play defense. It'd be a such better move than having to go out and find another bona fide center.
Okay, Ernie. As I'm doing this, Brian or someone back there, could you please, Brian, you look up Taylor Hall's career face-off percentages, please.
Yeah, he's half right. He can skate and play make. He doesn't play D, though.
He gets back. Mm. He does. He does get back. I watch. Mm. He doesn't do anything when he's back there.
Okay, so there you go.
But he's not a bad little back checker. He gets back. Mm. In my mind's eye, I've never seen the boy win a face-off. Hunter in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Hunter.
Hey, guys, can we talk about how the Bruins have been hoarding off-brand versions of Jake DeBrusk for years? Like Bjork, Kuhlman, Bleed, Steen, it never works. Unless your name is Marchand, Krug, or Lee Sell, and you're under 5'11", I don't want you on the team. There's a reason the 2011 Cup team won, and it's because they were hitting bodies every 10 seconds, and this team won't even okay. They'll shy away from a scrap after every single whistle. We've ruined the golden years of Bergeron and the core because of how small the bottom
six is. Well, they did. That core, that golden core, did have Game 7 in their home building with a chance to win a cup and puked on themselves. So I don't like going too far with that. We've ruined it for Patrice Bergeron. He had a chance to win in 13 and didn't produce, and he had a chance to win in 2019 and didn't produce. So I don't want to hear that. They didn't lose Game 7 at home to St. Louis because of what they didn't surround him with. They had enough to win that game. They didn't show up. The thing about, and this is what I meant to address with that previous call about, how come we can't get players like McDavid and Makar and guys like this? Well, it's a little unfair that Connor McDavid was the first overall pick and a generational guy can't miss, like, he wasn't on the board when you had a chance to draft. Then Cal Makar was the fourth overall pick or something. He was a top five pick. You weren't drafting up there. And I want to say Draisaitl, like the Oilers have been picking up there forever.
Oh my God. They had, how many times they have the number one pick in like a 5-year span?
Nugent Hopkins is the number one pick. It's like, you're not picking number one. So I don't blame you for not coming home with Connor McDavid and Cal Makar. I do blame you for not coming home with Matthew Barzal, who's sitting on the board three straight picks. So, I mean, let's keep it real on that. Yeah, they're too small. They've taken it too far. But if you're pretending like you can win the way the Bruins did in 2011, I think you're also mistaken. The league is different. Nick in Westport. Go, Nick.
Hey, what's up, guys? So the Hall to center idea thing is not a bad idea, because that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. I have no idea how this team is going to find replacements for Bergeron and Krejci if it happens. I mean, even if Bergeron stays, he's got to become your number two center, and you still have to figure out who your number one center is going to be. And we talked about this a while ago, Felger. Without trading Marchand or Pastrnak to get draft picks to draft higher, I don't know how you acquire these guys unless you do it through free agency. So I just wanted to know what your...
And they have no money to spend this offseason. There's no path this offseason. They don't have it. Unless they trade David Pastrnak. And I'd trade Pastrnak over Marchand. I think you get a lot more for Pastrnak. He's much younger. And his contract's going to be a whopper. A killer. Marchand's still pretty affordable for what he is. Although I do worry he'll never be the same guy.
Correct.
Both hips, and he's lost his center. And he's 30-something. 3-2. Like, I think we may have seen the best of Brad Marchand.
Double hip surgery.
I mean...
34.
34.
Double hip surgery.
And he's losing Bergeron.
Double hip surgery.
Like,
double.
What's Taylor Hall's career faceoff percentage? You get that? Let me hear it.
44.6%.
It's better than I would have thought.
It blows.
I've never seen him win one. That's still better than I would have thought. I thought it would have been 25%. He sucks. He's so this is where Taylor Hall, he's really weak on the puck. He's really weak in puck battles. Oh, I think he blows on puck battles. Blows. So I think he tries to get back. I think he's kind of there, but he's not a center. I don't know. I wouldn't do that. I try and get a center, a real center, and play him on the wing. But either way, I don't know exactly where I was on that. The bottom line was, you watch the Oilers and the Avs play hockey, and you think the Bruins are playing a different sport. Like, it's not really the same game. And that's just where they're at right now. And I don't know the way out of it in the short term.
I looked it up quickly. Edmonton had the number one pick 5 times in 7 years. And the 2 years they didn't.
Where did Nurse go?
They had number 3 and number 7.
So what was Nurse taking?
Nurse was 7th.
Okay, Nurse was 7th. What was Nugent Hopkins?
He was first.
First.
You want all the number ones?
You know, and where was...
Taylor Hall, Nugent Hopkins, Yakupov.
Draisaitl.
He was 3rd.
He was 3rd overall.
Yeah. McDavid was number 1. And then with the 4th pick in 2016, they got a right wing... I can't pronounce it. Pool Jujuvari.
Okay, Jujuvari. And McKinnon was number 1, and Makar was what? I don't know what he is in front of me, but 4th?
He was 4th, yeah.
Yeah, like, so, I mean...
You got no shot at those guys.
You're not getting those guys. That's the reason you don't have those guys. But Lord knows, if the Bruins were sitting on the board when Draisaitl was available at 3, they probably would have taken some grinder who projected on their 3rd line. Knowing them, they probably would have missed on that pick too, given how they draft.
Well, last 2 times they were in the top 10, they got Dougie Hamilton and Tyler Seguin.
So here's something just crawled up Maz's tush, and we extracted it.
Surgically.
We're going to extract something from my ass right after this. Another thing that's sort of crawled up my tailpipe. I mentioned it yesterday. I want to follow up on it, and this is the victory laps being taken by you, Celtics fans and Warrior fans, over the fate of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. We'll do that after Murray gets you updated. 90 seconds, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.